my brother Daniel. Very nice to be back in the house of the Lord again tonight to study His Word. We have a perfect guide now to the ministry of the prophet of God. No one else has that ability as we have. I wish that the people could be convinced, but you see, it's so simple, they're overlooking it. That's the problem. They just don't look in their Bible. I've often said that I'm out of Canada and I never did see a red bird in my life. But I saw in a book a red bird. And I thought that would be one of the prettiest things to see. And then, you know, one day I saw a red bird and it was easy to recognize it. Because I'd already seen from a book what that red bird would be like. Now, but when it comes to a prophet, people bog down. They don't study the scripture to see if there is such a thing as a prophet and what that prophet would be like. Then if they would do that, if such a person could come along, then they would know that is that person. That the prophet was thoroughly revealed in scripture, and we know that Acts chapter 3 is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, and such a man came, and they didn't recognize him. We know it's John the Baptist came, and they didn't recognize him. So it's a pity that the people are missing simplicity. Just as Brother Branham said, we all the time look in the past, or we all the time look in the future. And they're missing what's going on. And you know there are people in this message who are doing the same thing. They wish that they had the very ministry back that Brother Branham had when he was here. Which ministry was to set him before us so that we would accept the word which is vindicated by the ministry. Now they're looking forward to some great things down the road. Well, that's not what Brother Dan taught us. He said, you don't look back and you don't look forward. You look at what is going on now. You have to stay with the hour in which you live. And there again, it's the same thing you taught us, missing because it's so simple. What is more simple than a farmer planting a grain of wheat? The Bible said he knows not how, but day and night something is working in that seed. Wow, he's got confidence that the full potential of the desired manifestation lies in that seed according to the laws that God laid down. He preached that sermon on spiritual food in due season. He brought that very thing out. The former rain, which is the word of God, has been sown. Now, there's nothing you and I can do about it except nourish it by our undying faith in that word. Explain it? Not all of it. I don't know that we'll ever explain it all. I don't know that any prophet was ever able to explain it all. That is, explain it right down to the nth degree where there is nothing to uncover. There is nothing left to uncover, I believe, as far as the prophetic message is concerned, because his message would uncover everything that God wanted uncovered. But to repeat that back to God the way God said it, maybe no one in this world ever accomplished that. Moses, he gave so much of the word out. Moses had to go to God many times to find out just what his conduct should be relative to that word, like a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Now they said, what do we do about that Sabbath? Something was in the word concerning that they must not labor on that day. And yet they had to go to God for the revelation, even though the word had been given.
That is, explain it right down to the end to be where there is nothing to uncover. There is nothing left to uncover. I believe, as far as the prophetic message is concerned, because his message would uncover even as God wanted uncovered. But You repeat that back to God the way God said it. Maybe no one in this world ever accomplished that. Moses, he gave so much of the word out. Moses had to go to God many times to find out just what his conduct should be relative to that word, like a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Now they said, what do we do about that Sabbath? Something was in the word concerning that they must not labor on that day. And yet they had to go to God for the revelation, even though the word had been given. So
that was in the day that we hadn't made a very accurate count, but today the number of Christians is 700 million so far. That would raise it to 700 at the end time. But just type now, nobody knows for sure. Remember, Elijah had 7,000 having followed him. That was the answer. 700, 7,000. I don't know. Brother Bannon never said positively. But he showed us where it could be. So few at this end time. And who are those few going to be? That have to be in a childlike faith of simplicity. That's all. I see no other hope for. Just believe this word. But we don't see this way for. Don't see that in positively wrong. Don't try to probe where you're not supposed to probe. That's right. Don't try to make the thing come to pass. It won't work. Don't think to see that. Just let it lie in the sun. Good admonishment to reduce the people to remain sweet for something you do. That's what Paul warned us. All the teachers warned us. John warned us. The mouth of every witness is to stay with that word the best you know. Because you can only know it according to Revelation. How much we pick out of it. Try to learn it as theologians, which could be fine, but you'll never bring it to Revelation. The Spirit of God will bless. And that's what you have. To stay with that word and think it to be true. Now, I want to bring the message tonight following. First Wednesday night. We've got both on the mysteries of God. And I want to take one mystery tonight, the mystery of iniquity. So let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you that you have given us grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Truly the law was until John, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Lord, you realize that grace and truth, you by your grace wanted to give us the truth. And it was grace and truth that bring us into eternal life. And we thank you for it, Lord, because we know we're not born of the perishable seed, the corruptible, but we're born of the incorruptible. And we thank you for it, O God. And tonight, Lord, we rest upon the fact that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord, that grain has been sown. The word of God has been re-sown to the end time, twice given, brought right down to it. And we know, Lord, that the Spirit must fall upon us. And it's going to bring forth a harvest in one short season. And it is the season of resurrection. May we understand that, Lord, and just stand fast in the faith in this word. God, help us to bring every thought into captivity tonight to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we might not be deceived, desirous, and thereby be destroyed. But Lord, I pray that every mind has been absolutely closed now to everything but the word of God. Something that's caught fire, something that's caught hold. And that's that word tonight. Oh, God, help us, we pray. Give me the words to speak tonight, Lord, because I know myself I can say nothing that is going to be, not do anything at all, just to get work. May the word come, Lord, according to truth, and may it be received in the same manner. Grant this tonight, Lord, according to grace and truth. And we carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the other night, is speaking about the fact that God's Word has many mysteries in it. And because they're mysteries, we fail to realize that they can be made known to us by the Holy Spirit. And we can know what these mysteries are, which are indeed the great truth of the Word of God. As Brother Branham said, the third pole was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that has been sealed in the Word. That's right. Hidden how? It wasn't hidden because of the fact that it was in between the lines. It wasn't that at all. It was hidden because what was said was not revealed to us. It was hidden under a curtain. But the word reveal means to pull back at the curtain and see what is there. It was in the Word. It is the Word. But it wasn't made known to us as to what God meant when He said it. He also said in the brief, the mystery, what we're talking about, the Word of God, came down from God as the Word of God. What are the mysteries? It's the Word of God. And revealed the entire revelation of God. When all the mystery of God has been completely brought by that end time prophet, God will stand revealed in full view, and that's the entire mystery. They're all brought up. See, the truth, and remember, Jesus is the truth. The Word, remember, Jesus is the Word. As Brother Brown said, every word in this book reveals Jesus Christ in the Psalm, in the Epistle, in the history, in the prophecy. And he said, if you fail to see Jesus in one of those verses, go over it again until you see Christ. Now that may sound strange concerning the history, but really it is not. Because the book, this Bible, we revere as the Bible, is literally the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is that seventh seal? Christ is. See, every place you go, it is a revelation of that Word. Now, one of those mysteries, one of the major doctrines, one of the great truths that have to be brought to us, and they all are brought to us, is the mystery of iniquity. Now let's turn to that in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. And we'll read, I suppose, about the first 10 verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, as that day of Christ is at hand, that no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except to come upon him the way first. And that man is indeed is the son of perdition, who upholdeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he is God, fixing the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what would hold it, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already worked. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the blackness of coming, even him who coming with after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all the feebleness of unrighteousness and damned to perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, this mystery of iniquity, which is to be brought into full view and revelation at this end time, had already started in the days of the Apostle Paul, but could not be truly revealed as it is today, because it was not time for the manifestation. Now remember, Paul was speaking before, I believe in the book of Ephesians, he said that this mystery that he was speaking was more thoroughly revealed than it had been previously. Now, when you receive a portion of a revelation, you stand in doubt as to whether you are absolutely correct, though you could be correct. Now, the revelation which we'll speak of tonight, given us by Brother Brown, has been known previously, but they could not know it for sure. They were only barely looking at it. Remember those seven seals that seal up the scroll. Now, those seals, I mean that sealed book, was a manuscript or a scroll written within and without. Now, some of those manuscripts were written within but not without. This one was written within and without, so therefore no man could add to it or no man could take from it. But let's say we have a manuscript such as that and we seal it. Now, you know that between the seals you can read some words. And he said, I caught a word in there. I believe, therefore, it's speaking of this. Somebody else comes along, and he looked at that manuscript that all rolled up, and he too reads between those seals. And he said, I think you got a point there, but I view it like this. Now, each of those persons could have the revelation basically correct, but it's only at the end time that you would really know what is correct, and you would get the fullness in order to know the truth. Centuries ago, people realized that city sitting upon seven hills, and that the Antichrist system would be an ecumenical system. They knew it, but they didn't know what we know today, because this end time man is to bring in all the mysteries. And when he does, the whole book becomes a complete dovetail revelation. As I said the other night, no scripture from then on fight scripture. It all dovetails, it's all perfectly revealed. There is no segment over here arguing against this segment over here. It is a revelation where the bride comes together all as one, and here stands the full revelation, the full manifestation of God. See? Now, it's only in this day that that could happen. It could not happen before. But the mystery of iniquity, as we know it today, was already started and revealed in the days of Paul in a point. But today, of course, we come into the very fullness of it. Now, let us examine the truth of the mystery of iniquity the best we can from these scriptures which we have before us. Now, you'll notice the mystery of iniquity is manifested in a man. In verses 7 and 8, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already started, but it hasn't come into its full-fledged power. Only he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You'll notice that this mystery of iniquity, though starting way back there, he as a thief, could not come into full manifestation and revelation until the end time, when this mystery, this spirit, would be incarnated in a man. Now you remember Brother Branham said, in a nutshell, the mystery of iniquity is the people worshiping Satan through a church system. See? Now it started way back in the days of Paul. But there had to come a time, and there will come a time, when this thing will be actually headed up and manifested in a man in whom Satan is, and the people will worship him as God. It will be an embodiment of Satan. Because it says he works exactly in Satan's ways. And remember, Satan is dealing with mankind. See? Remember God planted those original seeds? The enemy came by and intruded himself right into the human race, thereby bringing on a serpent seed. Now, notice also, this mystery is related to the coming of the Lord. That's right. The mystery of iniquity cannot come to pass, be fulfilled, be manifested, except at about the very time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now notice that in that second verse. Jesus to the Greek, which I believe I told you tonight, Peter quoted, John quoted, Jesus quoted, Paul quoted the Septuagint. Now, this day of Jehovah is found in Jeremiah 46 and 10. Let's just find some references here about that great day, and we'll know what's going to happen. 46 and 10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with blood. And the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. All right? You get a picture there with the day of the Lord. Isaiah, the second chapter, and in verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Acts 2 and 20. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Okay, you can see exactly where it is. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So on. You notice in here that the day of the Lord, which is the day of Jehovah, usually signifies that God is defending Israel and destroying the enemy of Israel. So you can see where we stand. That this Antichrist coming, this mystery of misery, as we find here in the scripture, can only come into its full being at the same time that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to bring vengeance and destruction upon the earth. That's what it says in Zechariah. This is our Lord and he will save us. And he comes and destroys those who come up against Jerusalem as he saves 144,000. Now you'll notice, of course, that the bride is already raptured before this manifestation comes into being. The bride's going to be gone. That man of sin will not be opposing God and exalting himself and showing that he is God when the bride is here. It is during the 3.5 years of the great tribulation, we call it, that this man is going to be shown forth. He shows himself forth as though he is God, and he'll be shown forth to what he is because he'll be destroyed by the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice also about this mystery and the day of the Lord, over here in Acts 1:6-7. It says, when they therefore come together, and they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the king of Israel? He said that it is not you know the times of the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. Now you see, this is held in a mystery. No one knows exact dates concerning it. Now over here in 2 Thessalonians, in the 2nd chapter, and that 6th verse, it says, and now you know what was holded, that he might be revealed in his time. There is a certain specific time for the coming of the day of the Lord, a certain specific time for Antichrist to be on the scene, and they intertwine each other, so to speak. They're coming in that same period. Now, all you can do is wait. You don't know what day and hour Jesus comes. We don't know what day and hour the great tribulation is going to start. We don't know these things. We just have to wait and see them come into this earth. But we're warned the hour in which they're happening, in the sense we know this is the generation to whom these things are all falling out as they lost. Now notice also in verse 3, it says that there cannot be the day of the Lord either, except there be a falling away first. Now there's got to be a great apostasy before the day of the Lord. There's got to be a great apostasy before this man of sin is able to be revealed in his takeover. Because he doesn't tip his hand, of course, immediately, but he'll show who he is. Now there's going to be a falling away or an apostasy. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 22 and 22. Now this also is the Septuagint. 22 and 22. The Lord God of God, the Lord God of God, he knoweth, and Israel shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if it be in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. Now, the word in the Greek of the New Testament that is translated apostasy is the very same word that is used for rebellion in the Hebrew. Now, what rebellion which constitutes apostasy was going on at this time? Well, I'll tell you. Israel had passed over into King's land. But before they passed over, some of the tribes said, we don't want to go in there. Now, we'll help you fight the battle. We'll help you take possession. But we want to live on this side of Jordan. Well, they said, if that's the way you feel about it, you go ahead and do that. But you help us according to what you're supposed to do. So then, after Israel received the land from God, and the other tribes went back over on the other side of the flood, they built an altar. Now, you know that Israel could not possibly worship God outside of the Ark of the Covenant where they erected their altar. There was no worship except in this one place. Now, when Israel saw, that's the major portion of the tribes in Canaan's land, saw an altar being built, they said, look what you're trying to do. You are trying to worship God away and apart from God's ordained way, which was the way laid down by Moses. They said, this is rebellion, which is apostasy. Now those people said, no, you don't understand. We are not building an altar to worship apart from you. We are not building an altar in order to go about worshiping the way we want to worship. See? Now if they were doing it, they'd be worshiping God. But God would call it apostasy. See? Now then, they said, no, we're not doing that. What we're doing, we're building an altar as a covenant here that we belong with you. They said, all right, that will accept that. So you see, what we're showing you here is that this falling away has to do with a worship of God, which is what you would call unconstitutional, unacceptable. And even though they are worshiping, they're worshiping in rebellion or in apostasy. In other words, it's a worship that God will not countenance. See? He turns it down. He does not want it. Now, there is only one place where we can meet God. That's in Jesus Christ, who is the Word. There is only one place where we can worship God, and that is Jesus Christ the Word. Brother Branham said that there is nobody, absolutely nobody, who can truly worship God apart from the messengers which God sent. Why? Because God sent the messengers with the message. So therefore, as Paul said, Peter is nothing, Paul is nothing, the Word of God is everything. So, they have fallen away from the Word, and therefore, they cannot worship God acceptably. They can't do it. Now, notice also, this word is found in 2 Chronicles. And this is 29:19. Now, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Now notice in here the word transgression is the same thing, apostasy. Now it says in this 19th verse that Ahaz apostatized. Now how did Ahaz apostatize? He apostatized by taking away the sacred vessel. He took away that which the people were performing in their worship of God. Now, the same thing stands today. When did they take away water baptism? Water baptism means absolute immersion. How many have it? Water baptism means immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have it? See? How many people take today, partake of communion? They say they believe this message. Now, if I'm cutting this off anything you believe, I ask my right to preach it, and I'm gone to just preach it. But where do you find that you get the water baptism is no longer an adjective today? Water baptism in the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no scripture to take away until the bride is raptured. Why have they done away with foot washing? Why have they done away with communion? See? Why have they done away with these things? Brother, sister, this is the very thing we're talking about. This is the apostasy as far as I'm concerned. You see, you can see it dovetails in the Word of God. Just go to your Bible and face the truth. You don't find it here reading the newspaper. You find it by getting in the Bible and see just what they did. Now remember, Brother Bass said Israel has seven church ages. They dovetail with our seven church ages. See? This Word of God is one whole. So we get our illustrations as the Apostle Paul said, these things are written for our admonition that we might learn by them. And you can see here, we do not have the right to take away. What about those people that say, I'm going to just stay home and hear faith? Because there's no fivefold ministry. Why don't they read it in the stature of a perfect man, where Brother Branham brings up the perfection comes by a fivefold ministry? Now, I'm not defending myself, because as far as I'm concerned, I've got to preach in the morning. That'd be kind of nice. Oh, yeah, you fine. You just thought God would let me do it. I'll be happy. I've got no worry about the job. God, I've laid the foundation where God is going to take care of me. I know that. Because a lot of folks are lying to me that God won't lie to me. A lot of folks are letting me down, but God won't let me down. No worry there. But you see, you can't do these things and not be a part of the apostasy. Why? Because it's in rebellion to the Word of God. Now you follow me. Okay, now that there's a third one here, but I won't give you the quote on it. It's in Jeremiah. And the Bible says that Jeremiah turned to idols and went down to Egypt. Now, what do you do when you go down to Egypt? You go to the world, which is the world system. And what is the world system? The world system is organization. Jesus said that Gentiles teach and to exercise authority, but so shall it not be named among you. Organization, system, program, and all these things. And you know what? Jeremiah said, you've gone down there, and God is going to hit you for it. Now listen to me. The last day the overseeing church ends up with Jesus Christ outside the church, because the Laodicea is in rebellion against the Word. It apostatizes in rebellion. Now the Bible says this has got to happen before the Antichrist is manifested. Certainly it does, because the Antichrist himself is in absolute rebellion against God, because the Antichrist is nothing but the devil incarnate in a man. And remember, it's this spirit that brings him on. It's this spirit of rebellion that brings on the great rebeller. And that spirit's in the people. And it's in the church system. See? Now, it is in the church. It's in apostasy. It's this apostasy that brings on this man of sin. The mystery of iniquity in the church. The mystery of iniquity in the church. That's where it was. Paul said it's already working. It's broken down amongst us. How in the name of common sense can you get that in the record? The word in there. In the church. That mystery of iniquity was in the church. And that mystery of iniquity in the church brings out the man of iniquity. Right. The mystery of iniquity brings out the man of iniquity. Over here in this 2 Thessalonians reading some, it says in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, but they, that they might be saved. Now, they receive not the love of the truth. That's your apostasy in a nutshell. They don't want the truth. But they want their worship without it. Now, right, you follow me? And they're going to worship without it. That's right. And they're going to end up worshiping the devil through a church system while they think it's God. Right. Now notice what they call this fellow. You call him the Antichrist. But look in verse 3. Let no man deceive any. For that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice. He was called the man of sin. He was called the son of perdition. And in verse 8, he was called that wicked. Or that wicked one. Now, two of these titles are identical. Man of sin and wicked one are actually lawless one. That's what it says in the Greek, lawless. Here's a lawless person. All right? Let's go and find out about this lawless condition. It's in 1 John, the third chapter, and in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now that's not correct. Sin is not the transgression of the law, although that's true in a sense. The literal correct translation is, sin is lawlessness. Now, let's watch this. Lawlessness. There is no such thing that anybody can do without a law. Right. So therefore, humanly speaking, there is nothing that is lawless in itself. Lifting my hand, carrying a bucket of water, setting machinery up. Every single thing has to do with the law. Yes, sir. Every single thing in this world. I don't care if you kill. I don't care if you take your last breath and scream curses in God's face. It's all done by law. Something is there that gives you the power to do it. Now God made every single law. He made every single one. There isn't anything that God didn't make. There is nothing that you and I can do, the devil or anybody else can do, but it's based upon what God put here that we do it by. There is no such thing as lawlessness per se. And neither can you break the law. If you broke the law, you'd be destroying what God laid down. Now, if I can break the law of gravity, there's no more gravity. See? You follow what I'm driving at? So let's get back to what this is talking about. It's not what people think it is. It can't be that. Because if I could break the law, I could destroy it. If I could do something that's lawless, how come I can do it? There's got to be a principle behind it, or it couldn't be done what at all. What is it? What are we talking about? We're talking about the fact here that you take the very laws that God laid down for an intended purpose. You take those very laws, that very power, then you do something contrary to what God wants revealed in His Word, but you do it anyway. See? You take those very laws God laid down for an intended purpose, and you use them for something else. Or you try to attain to some purpose God wants by using some other law than that God never ordained. That's why women can't preach. The Bible said, you know, all the world preach the gospel. But he said, woman, stay home. She said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm a soul winner. No, do not. Not in those conditions. I don't care what she thinks she's doing. See? It can't be done. Now, you say that woman is lawless like the devil. That's right. She was using laws that God laid down, but she used them to a purpose that God didn't intend it. See, that's the idea here. That's why the church ends up thinking it's worshiping God when it's not worshiping God, because it's taking the word and the form that God laid down, like water baptism, foot washing, all these things, and it ends up perverted so that God turns it away. You'll have no part in it. Now, this original lawlessness we're talking about is found over in Genesis, the second chapter. Let me just keep showing it, just to get the point here. Sometimes these things are a little bit hard to understand, but they're really not. Genesis 2, 9 and 17. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of, dying thou shalt surely die. Now listen here. The Bible said that God made everything good. Then he rested. And then how then God didn't make this tree? Just like faith. Thou searching in all thy ways until iniquity is found in thee. What was it? Everything that God made was good. That's right. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely good. Now then, if a thing goes trivial, it's not good. Yet the Bible said God made everything good. So therefore, it's got to be the wrong use of what is good. You see it? That's the problem right here in the Bible. People refuse to understand this and see what the prophet was talking about. It's perversion that God can't stand. It was perversion when they to see the king. I mean, to see the serpent was brought forth. It was a perversion. Everything we've done is perversion. We have taken and wrongly used every single thing that God gave us. Now then, good and bad, they're different. In the sense, we put one against the other. Life and death, the same thing. All right? The tree of life was in the garden, right? Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was death, is that right? Then what is life? Life is good, which is the knowledge of good. Now, what is evil? Or death? Death has to be the misrepresentation of that which is right in order to bring death, because death was not there in the first place. And death won't be there in the second place, because God is going to destroy death and hell. Only that which is perfect will remain. Now, I hope you're catching this now. Death was perverted truth. And you can't do anything against the truth but for the truth. So what is it? It's the mishandling and the misrepresentation of that which is the truth. You follow what we're getting today then? It's what they're doing today. They won't throw this Bible in the gutter. They won't get rid of your churches. I'm talking now about the whole mass. Ours they will, yes. Our faith they will, yes. But they'll find a trinity in this word, like they're doing right now. I read just an hour ago in the magazine, and there there's a man wrote how the Mayans know more than we know. how that they saw there were two creators, one was a creator and one was a former, and the two together made the whole world. And they said, see, the Mayan had a better revelation than even Israel did, because there's two gods. I thought, where's the baby, honey? What a dirty trick to leave off the third. See, you follow me. It's a perversion that kills you. Now, I'll prove my point further. Come on now. I'm not just talking to you in my head here. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter now. I want to get the truth. Right down to where it is. Now, I'm teaching you something. You say, did Brother Branham teach that? Brother Branham sure did. I'm just bringing up more scripture on it, that's all. Now, 1 John, the third chapter, 9 to 13. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. That's pretty nice, isn't it? All right. If you're born of God and don't commit sin, then you don't need an intercessor. Why have we got one? Paul said we've got one. John said we've got one. If John says the man born of God doesn't commit sin, so if you don't commit sin, you don't need an intercessor. So he's not talking about the kind of sin that people think he's talking about, where your Methodists went all haywire. But what Weston ever taught you, don't let anybody tell you Weston taught the nonsense you hear today. He never taught that nonsense. He never taught that kind of perfection that people talk about. Now listen, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. In other words, there's something this man cannot do. It's a sin that this man cannot commit. And you know why he can't commit it? It's because he's born of God. See? A horse cannot cluck like a chicken. It never will cluck like a chicken because it can't cluck like a chicken. And all never will in my arms to take off like a bee. 747, because let's face it, I can't do it. And I'll not sit down and play that piano. I never will because I can't do it. And I'll never sing like Crusoe. Why? There's no danger. I can't. And I'll never preach like Brother Branham. No danger. I can't. You don't need to worry about it. You see? Something in here this man can do. So he doesn't need an intercessor for this. Now let's keep moving. Now it says in this very thing we're talking about, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, or unrighteous, and his brother's righteous. Now, it doesn't say that when Cain killed his brother, that was the unrighteous work. It said he had already done a righteous work, and his brother an unrighteous work, and his brother Abel had done a righteous work, and it was the unrighteous work in contradistinction to the righteous work that made Cain so mad he killed his brother. Is that right? The unrighteous work was not his killing. The unrighteous work led up to the killing. Is that right? All right. What was that unrighteous work? Okay, Genesis 4. Now, it may look like I'm doing a long, hard job on this mystery tonight, but remember, this is exactly how Brother Branham taught us to do. Go on back and find out what it's all about. So just don't talk. Right? So with that, tell you a thing. Now, let's go to Genesis. Pardon me, it's got to be there. Okay. Verse 2. Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Cain was a tiller of the soil, faith against work. And in process of time it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the first and of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. That was the righteous work. As today, Now, was Abel of God? You bet he was of God, because he was of Adam and Adam was the son of God. Now, Cain was of that wicked one, is that right? So that's how he did. But Cain, and to Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. What was the unrighteous work? The offering that Cain brought was the unrighteous service to God. Now let's go on. And Cain was very up. Oh, he hates his brother now. Now he's got something to hate about. He's got something to hate about right here. His countenance fell. Murderous looking old boy. And the Lord said, why are you, man? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest not well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not, if thou doest well, rather, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin offering lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, right away, this doesn't mean one thing in the King James Version. Let me read it to you, please, from the Septuagint. Listen, God said, thou hast offered right. Yet, if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Hold your finger there and turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. All right, we all know what it is. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Cain was ashamed. Abel was not ashamed. Roughly dividing the word of truth. Now, God said, Cain, you have wrongly divided the word. So therefore your service, your worship is unrighteous. Right? Let's prove it. Cain, you offered right, but you divided the word wrong. Now how did Cain offer right? Simple as ABC. Have you ever heard of the first fruit offering? Have you? Did Cain offer it? He did. Was it a right offering? It was. Was it a good thing? It was. Was it beautiful? It was. What was wrong with it? It was without the blood. The wrong dividing of the word of God was Abel had divided right. And he came and brought the blood. The next thing he would have brought was what? The first fruit, which is the wave offering, signifying the resurrection, because the blood signifies death and cleansing. You see tonight? He offered right. Perfect. But it wasn't perfect with the word. Now, there is your unrighteousness. There is your wickedness. See? This is why many shall come in that day, and he'll say, I never knew you. Now, God was doing the healing. All the things were being done by the word of God and by faith in God. But remember, he said, you work iniquity. It is this wrong division of the word of God that in the end time will end up with Christ outside the church and people actually worshiping the devil, saying he's God. And they'll be basing it right upon this word, and it'll be absolutely perverted. Now, the Bible says so because at the end time, they turn down the truth. And when you turn down the division of the word of God, the word for your day, I don't care how you say you're going to make out, you will not make out, because we took it right back to the beginning. See? No matter how you worship God, no matter how you say, I know I've got it made, See? It won't work. Now, notice how Jesus called Israel the same seed of Cain. Now remember, Brother Branham said, the devil got into that bunch of Jews. John 8. <clears throat> 44 to 47. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father. What did Brother Brown say a lie was? The truth perverted. You think for 1 minute the devil's got knowledge outside of God? No, sir. The devil could not have knowledge apart from God, because God's the source of all. Only the devil had knowledge. So what is the devil do? Perversion. What is spiritism? The real thing perverted. What fortune teller? The real discernment perverted. What is a medium? It's the real office perverted. See? All is a matter of perversion. Now let's keep reading. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you, he said, can find me wrong in one word? Because the word convince is confused, and confused has to do with arguing. He said, which of you can stand against me in debate? William Branham did the same thing. You should turn your Bibles right now and debate it. They turn like a bunch of scalded dogs and ran. All the time promising, forgiveness is going to come down and get baptized. Well, I'm going to take 200 pages of one man and give them to my friend. Oh, yes. Not one came down and got baptized, not one picked one, as far as I know. And then why did whoever it was took it off, took the challenge off, as Brother Dan did. The one time he could have had a challenge on faith, he was taken off. Don't tell me that was God. Well, it was God indirectly, yes. In the sense of supreme being. But you see, they didn't want this challenge, and he stood there. He being the Son of Man in flesh. They didn't want that challenge. They didn't want that ministry all the way down the line. If his ministry was the same ministry as Jesus, they could have believed that that's the Bible. Luke 17, 26 to 30, identical. And that challenge has to be defeated. This challenge was there. See, now listen. If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. That's understanding. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And they turned and they said, didn't we say, well, you've got a devil and none but a Samaritan? In other words, they said, you're a bastard Jew. Or you're a bastard Christian. That's right. The one man that was seed in Jesus' day was seed, and to prove that he was seed, they called him a Baptist. And they did the same thing with William Brown. The one man that could prove that he was seed was thus saith the Lord. Nobody else had it. Nobody. That's right. He said, you got a devil, and you're a Baptist. But when he laid down church order, what did he say? He said, let's see if it's legitimate. Didn't he? I'll stick with the prophet. I may not understand the anything he said, but I know so much of what he did said to him. My heart so thoroughly and from the word of God, I'd stick with that no matter what. There's no place else to go. Now, Matthew 15. Three to 13. How'd you read all these? We're going to read anyway. But he answered and said unto him, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Now, where did you get those traditions? Originally from the law of Moses. But so came by the scholars that there was no revelation, because they hadn't had a prophet for hundreds of years. Now, And therefore God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, now if people are going to twist it now and get their own meaning to suit themselves. You talk about people perverting the word of God. I have never heard such perversion as come from some people who say they've got the Holy Ghost. I remember years ago a man told me that historically there was no such thing as baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was some new innovation. And yet we can take the books of history and go back and prove that for about the first 2.5 centuries, there was no such thing as a baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They'll take any book and twist anything to bring out their lies. Now, that's what they did then. Now, let's read on further here, get into how he talked to them. Now, in verse 7, you hypocrites, no, first of all, verse 6, he said, thus, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In other words, the very promise of God they were relying upon could not be effective to them because of a traditional understanding. Now what about the end time of the coming of Jesus Christ in the rapture? Supposing you've got a tradition instead of the Word of God, do you make your rapture? Impossible. Now right over here, oh brother there, that's unkind. Then you better call Jesus unkind. You better blaspheme. Don't blast me. But I'm just going to preach what the Bible teaches. See? You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy. Now remember, the Antichrist is a hypocrite. We're sorry about this. You can't have a hypocrite until first of all you've got a hypocrite spirit. The whole spirit was wrong. That's why they didn't have any revelation, because if you got the Holy Ghost, you've got to have a revelation. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. That's all, mouth. And honor me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me. Why? Because they got their teaching, doctrine, the teaching for doctrine, and the commandments of men. And he said to the multitude, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man. And then came the disciples and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered it, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And you can't find one time that God ever planted a hypocrite. God never planted a make-believer. A make-believer is nothing but the real thing basically was. That's all. In other words, it's a counterfeit. And there's no such thing as a counterfeit unless there's an original. So there's a take-off on the original. But it doesn't fit with the original. It's a take-off from it. Like an old field and all of the new world. Now, I said a while ago this lawless one could only come at a certain period of time. And that's exactly true. He can only come at a certain period of time in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, and thy name done wonderful works. And I'll profess to them, I never, 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 never knew you. It's always a triple negative, never one. The Greek is never singular, it's always triple. They shall never, never, never perish. I never, never, never knew you. See? Not like any. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now notice in here, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Right. Now, what's the will of God? You can't deny. It is the will of God to cast out devils. It is the will of God to heal the sick. It is the will of God to raise the dead. How come it's iniquity? Because they're doing it under the wrong condition, in the wrong place, or by the wrong people. Yeah, you know people got the funniest idea. They can read this Bible and just go out half-cocked with their own ideas every single day. Why is it your organization of Bible school wants to make everybody of a certain character? It's just like putting the fellow one time, he said, when God made the golden bowl of the temple, he did each one with handwork. But he said, when it comes to his modern method of turning out Christians, it's nothing but a pottery factory. No longer is there the spinning wheel, you know, the potter's wheel, where you make the vessel, but it's just, you all look like a bunch of mugs. And you would ask the truth, Christians have the idea that you've got, you've got to be just like them. People can never understand my jargon or why I say I am not an evangelist. I do not have the flaming passion for souls the way evangelists. I never was told to do the work of evangelists. I have it. I teach. I've got only one concern: you and the Word of God. Nothing else matters. And I've never asked you to be me and do what I'm doing. People don't understand it. Give to all the Word and preach the gospel. Yes, but not women. Yes, but not unless you're really ordained of God to do it. Heal the sick. Yes, but only if you're called of God to do it. You say, but what about if you're sitting down there praying? That's fine, because at that moment God told her to do it. But remember, the Bible said, first of all, apostles, secondary prophets, third Jesus, after that miracle, that's just as much a ministry itself as a man preaching the gospel or giving an evangelist. See? God has made us in such a way that the finger is not the eye, and the eye is not the toe, and the toe is not the liver, and the ear is not the tongue. But you can't get Christian to do that. No, they're always trying to jump in here and jump in there and do what God never called them to. Rebellion! See? Now, if God says here, there's many going to be doing these very things, which is the will of God, because He did say, go and do it, go and do it, go and do it. But who do you try to do? Under what condition? He says, your brother Brandon, you've got the power. Take that disease off a man. He says, one of that man's got that from God because he's in sin. See? What if he's sick because he's got a tongue of him? How would you like to try to be the person that would take brother Brandon's nervousness out of his stomach? That he told his wife, I would sooner be in bed for a month with my body crushed. And we all stuffed up in tension in the hospital and have just an hour to see what goes on inside here. Well, let's go take it off. Say, my brother, Dan, you don't need to be nervous. Why don't you know if the will of God to you? Hallelujah, glory to God. You'll go through that thing, go through the whole thing. You see what I mean? You can't do that. The conditions are laid down in God's scripture. Just like it was with Cain. Put that blood there first. Now you go here. See? How many times do you get people to confess their fault? The angel of God says, get the people to confess their sin. And then we called out sin, we walked off the platform, got mad, and we shut the door on them. See? God's word, my brother, my sister, has laws laid down in it. And we must abide by it, or we are outside the pale of safety. Now notice also, over in Matthew 24:24, which you don't need to read, we've read it many times, false prophets shall arise, great signs and wonders, and they'll deceive everybody but the very elect, sure they will. With this, Acts the 7th chapter, verses 16 and 17, Peter said, in the last days, not the first days, not Pentecost, this didn't happen at Pentecost. No, sir, it happened the last days. I'll pour my spirit upon you, double L, bless all. Your sons and your daughters prophesy, your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams, and on my men servants, and on my women servants, I'll pour my spirit. They're all going to be prophesying. Now, what's the spirit of prophecy? The testimony of Jesus Christ. They both got it. They're both testifying to Jesus. But one of them's got the true prophecy spirit. And that's lining up with that word as the prophet gave it. See? They're the ones that have that flame of fire over your head. This is the spirit of prophecy. Sure, they're the ones that have it. You got a bunch of you testifying to Jesus. Sure. Oh, they love Jesus. Just talk in tongues. You got the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and go to Mass. Go to Mass and say, this is the body of Jesus Christ, and you've got the Holy Ghost. You can pick yourself up on me. I'm not with the King Grant, Brother Sister. I got delivered. I believe it's sitting with Abel. I want to trace my ancestors right back to God that came with this word. God said at the end time there'd be two groups prophesying, and those with the testimony that Jesus Christ has the true spirit, and there is no true testimony outside of that word that the book is testifying. Sure they will. One will have the word. Brother Brown said, fine, give them the word test. You don't give them a power test. What matter the people live in this community around here? They want to get a power test. Brother Branham said the word's going to be revealed in power years and years and years ago. Now it's revelation. Go look for the power, power, power. We've been vindicated enough by William Branham to stand the hellfires of many years and can always still go and standing in our face. How do you stand with that word? That's what counts. Stick with the word of God. Now, notice in verse 21, the sun shall be turned into, rather 20, the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of that Lord come. Now notice what it says. It says that this condition of the anointing leads to the great tribulation and the Antichrist, not to the millennium. Or does it? Or does it do a living? Says at the same time that he's going to show one in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor, smoke. Before that great day comes? Before that great day comes? Oh, what great day? When God wreaks vengeance on the enemy of Israel? When he comes down and they say, this is our God, he'll say, we knew he was coming. That pillar of fire comes roaring and roaring down there, and the sword of his mouth destroys the multitude round about Jesus. The 144,000 say that you're hallelujah, this is our God. And we know it, save us. And out of that pillar of fire steps that one of the wounded man. I believe that's how it's going to be. I can't prove it by scripture. But brother, sister, I see too many scriptures to make me think that I believe. Brother Branham said Christ would appear to Israel in a symbol. Now, I believe that symbol, he always appeared and was that purifier. Then you see in the next scene that they were to get the wound. Just like Joseph. He's revealing himself as the bride in the palace. You follow me? There. And Joseph said, oh, he only saved us to Philip. He said, no. I got the Gentile bride that you're sending me down here. Jesus, I've got a Gentile bride. These are in the house of my friends. These wounds are in the house of the Father. It's good. It's the only way I can put it together. If I'm wrong. But I can't see it now. Listen to this. If this enzyme, what we're talking about, the work of the people are lawless. The act are genuine, but they are lawless because they are outside the framework of the word. Well, what is it you see to be? not to bring them to God, but take them away from God. Isn't that what the Bible said about the false prophet? You show your genuine sign, the one that's situated in God? Certainly. That's exactly what happened. These are false prophets. They are false to the word. But the sign is genuine. Sure. You're casting the devil. Baptists come along saying, I want to tell you what, those Pentecostals were casting out devils by the devil. You tell me they got the Holy Ghost? You tell me they're saying you talk that way? When Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan and his sins about him? Satan's not healed. God healed. Satan doesn't cast out devils. God casts out devils. And he said, this is what will be done. He said, at the end time, just before Jesus comes and flames the fire, taking destruction, in that tribulation period of the Antichrist, he said, people are going to be doing these signs and wonders in order to bring the Antichrist on. Now, notice, Pentecostal stuff foreruns the Antichrist because all the poison of all things is poured into her. Let's find out. Matthew 23. God said to Israel, after he scolded the hypocrite, verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel, righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I send you all these things to come upon this generation. All right, let's go to Revelation 18 now. And in her was found, what was found? In her, who's her? Babylon. World system, Antichrist religion. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. When? At that day. Now, all the wrath that God had saved up from all time to when they crucified him upon the cross was poured out upon Israel in their great tribulation. They had a great tribulation. Titus came to destroy the city. Blood flowed like water. So many crosses, they were put upon crosses, they couldn't find any more wood. What a terrible time. The rest dispersed. At the end time, what happened? Babylon is destroyed because in her is what? All the blood of all the prophets and all the things that God did. What is it? It's God is pouring out his wrath upon all the accumulated sin and poison in that age, which is the Chuck age, which is the Pentecostal age, which is what? With swords, gifts, and signs and wonders. Without the word. Without true life. Without a death and baptism with the Holy Ghost, with an anointing. Away from reality. Brothers, sisters, remember the last thing to strike Israel, I mean Egypt, before Israel was taken, was spiritual death. Physical death, rather. And so in this day, the last place, the last thing that happens to this world before the bride is taken is spiritual death is fallen. Where is it? It's right here in these ministries. The Pentecostal church. So there you have your mystery. You're looking at it right tonight. The mystery of iniquity has been going on for years and years under our noses. And we knew something was wrong. We knew it was terribly wrong because we could not figure this thing. And the prophet came. And he told us. Now listen to me. The prophet could not tell us until the thing was being done. William Branham did not preach the anointed ones of the end time until I think of August the 18th of 1965. He preached certainty, which is where he had to start, because he was to plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former ring. And the prophet in the former ring is the real against the unreal. And the serpent was September 28th of 1958. 7 years completely. To bring out what that prophet was supposed to do, plant the seed of the entire Bible. And he did it. Now, remember what Mr. Pentecost said. Mr. Pentecost said that he was in Rome not too many years ago. And in there, he said, was a breath of spring air. Well, I can understand just where your nose is in, something else might smell better. I often tell a story I read years ago, just the truth. A fellow got into a person's home and that person was away. He found an attic. He got in the attic. He kept the trap door closed. They'd hear noises the odd time, but thought it was just some creaking and crackling. So one day a neighbor said, I saw a man in your house. I didn't see him either. He got the call. The fellow said, he must be in here. Nobody could hear him. So one finally the cop said, what about that attic up there? Well, we said, yes, there's a kind of a descending staircase here, and you could go up there. So they went up there. The minute they pulled that lid off, the stench was so strong, they had to use gas masks because the man had defecated up there. And just wonderful, somehow the smell never got down below. The gas, the smell of the stench actually made those fellows faint. Well, as I say, if you were living up there, you would know. So no wonder when the fellow got to Rome, Rome smelled good. Don't mean to make a joke, but it's the truth of the thing, see? That's what Mr. Pentecost said. He said it was a breath of fresh air like spring, and he said God is going to pour out the charismatic blessing, which is Pentecostal gift amongst the Roman Catholics, and they will bring revival to the world. My Bible said it's going to bring death. It does bring death. What does it? The gift movement of the end time, where the spirits are so close that they end up worshiping the devil, thinking it's God. Now, how close will the devil get to becoming God? How close? Brothers and sisters, just think of Jesus. How he stood amongst men. And then just your sight set to see another man come on the scene. And he's going to walk with his Savior amongst men. That's right. If his messengers are wolves in sheep clothing, he will be the great wolf in the great sheep clothing. He's got to be. He's got to be. Not because I say so. It doesn't matter what I say, it's what the Bible is. Now, you will notice it is a man finally because you cannot crown a spirit. He's going to be crowned. Notice how you could not teach Pentecostal church order. You couldn't do it. Could you? You couldn't do it. Now, what did Paul the Apostle say? Paul said, put those gifts in a separate room. Women, put your hair down and keep it down. Don't even snip those frizzing in. You have it. Not one thing. Take those men's clothes off. And the Pentecost of people said, don't teach us those nothing things. You teach us the big things. Paul the Apostle laid his full apostolic authority on the line in the Corinthian church to put the church in order with gifts. And he challenged and said, what, did the word of God come to you? Or did the word of God come out of you? Now, if it came to you only, if your spirit, you got the Holy Ghost in it, and if you're a prophet, you will admit that what I say is the command of God. Oh, don't get in that room and keep you there. And they say, ha, 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 ha. You should listen to that old shepherd. Why, this has got to be God, because it's just what you need to be. And we can all talk in tongues, and our women can preach, and we can do this, and we can do that, because those things you don't mount anything, you must have the spirit that can do it. What did Brother Branham say? The angel of God said, you can't teach Pentecostal baby doctrine. And what does Isaiah say? You can only teach souls that have gotten off of that breath that is in that milk. Get them on to the Word of God. They don't want the meat of the Word of God. If there ever was a time for me, it's got to be when the end time prophet comes, because he reveals all of it. And I'm going to tell you something. You better have a big mouth and a big throat, not to talk with, but to eat with, and to swallow it, because it's going to come and dig along. And it did. And who choked? The majority. And who got choked? They shouldn't have got choked. They shot. Because they were the only ones who could have come to. The rest weren't even in the picture. Why? Because that's his generation. We don't go back to what we've been sitting here in the movie days. How can you? That's ridiculous. We don't go back there. You go back to the day, that generation. This generation shall not pass away. All right. That's the one in whom all the blood is, the martyrs. Why? Because, you see, they were the last ones to organize. And now everything that they had falls as a doctrine to the present church organized. It takes you right to the Antichrist. Now, let us take some of the many of the more times some more of these names, more times of what he's called iniquity and so on, this iniquity. Now we look at this. Over here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, because this is Mr. Iniquity, you know. All right. 23rd Matthew. 27 to 36. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead men's bones and all unclean. Thou art the wolf in sheep's clothing. Even to all of these, you appear outwardly righteous. But within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity, lawlessness. Now remember, where does this come from? Now please answer the question carefully. Where does this come from? It comes from Cain and Abel. Even so outwardly you appear righteous. Cain, oh what a beautiful sacrifice he gave. Verse 2. Yeah, I'm in the resurrection, hallelujah, I'm fine with God, look at my lovely life, and don't talk about that blood, don't talk about that prophet, and don't talk about this thing in my church, now look, we're doing just fine. Sure, he said sure. Now, what is it? You appear righteous. Now, come on. Two groups of men doing the same thing. Preaching the word. Honoring Jesus. One fellow said, glory to God, I want to tell you Jesus died upon Calvary. Both that third day for our justification took away my sin. I know I've been born again, I spoke the tongue, and there's the power of God demonstrated. Hallelujah. I believe in that three person duty. Oh, sure. And he carries off signs, wonders, miracles. Oh, here in Athens, hallelujah, I know you born again. I did not speak to them, but I've got God in my life. I know there's one Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He's one God. And I baptize the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got signs, wonders, miracles. we both have this hearing. Yeah, doing the same thing, saying the same thing. This Trinitarian who gives his life for God, this one that gives his life for God. This fellow fell over here, all he's got is Trinitarian, he gives it all away, this one that gives it all away. They're both agreeing. Okay? What are you going to do? Give them the word there. Once for the dead men bones. What is that? Tradition to the others. One has the living word of God. See? One is a hypocrite. He's a make-believer. He's full of iniquity. Lawlessness. He's lawless. He takes that word of God and perverts it. See? He hasn't got the truth. He's got a manifestation, but he hasn't got the truth. Look, you don't need that much for a manifestation. Husband, I don't care if any people in that room raise and get in this building. I can go to nature and show you God 1,000 times stronger than just 10 people raising this. I don't care if a lot of folks get healed. That's great, I'm all for it. I can prove there's a God out here 1,000 ways in nature. Don't worry about proving God. That's already been done to you. Because he had a man who had thus said the Lord. Now, where do you think? See? Now, listen, he said, warn you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchre of the righteous. Sure. They're all the time looking in the dead, distant past, the orientation, the whole thing is dead, and they forget the living man for the hour. God sent a messenger in every age. They're all the time screaming, hallelujah, glory to God. Wasn't that a great fellow you had back there? What about the God God sent you today? No, these are the dead. Now, he said, listen, wherefore be witness unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophet. He said, you're the children of the whore in whom is all the blood of all the ages. Why? Because you keep looking back at her, and the frogs look backwards. They see where they're coming from, not where they're going. Yeah. You better not have a frog spirit on you. Looking ahead, looking back, you better look right where you're at with the word of God. Now listen. Wherefore, dear, it says that you are the children of them that killed the prophet. Why? You won't take the message today. Fill you up then the measure of your father. Go ahead. Sit with him. And take the wrath of the Catholic Church. See? Go ahead. Listen, add one word, and you get the blast of all the pain, 3.5 years. Adding, but Lord, but oh God, I wasn't one of those guys that, he said, you've identified with them. You wouldn't come to the truth. You've identified with the sin. You've identified with iniquity. You've identified with that spirit. So you're one of them by your identification. Right? Go ahead. What are we identified with? We are identified with righteousness, which is the grasp of the word of God through revelation and service according to it. Yes, sir. As you get older and refined in this, you'll learn more and more lessons. And I'm learning. One lesson I learned by not watching the prophet, I watched him and I couldn't see what he was getting at. In fact, I felt a little rebuke for him because I thought maybe I would be more nice. You show me one man that Brother Branham ever took for you. One, he said that. That time, I challenge you, go all the tapes and go everywhere where he ever got behind or pushed any single inch. As he was doing God a service without God's will. Because if you're a true child of God, you'll make your own way, your own gift in this room to you. All you need is love from those that are one with you. But I push people forward and built them up, and I pray to Christ in every case. But I thought I was doing great service. Brother, sister, you don't be God's servant unless it's right with His will. I don't care how you and I think it, or how sweet it is. And people get fooled out of what love is. Remember, Brother Branham said, compassion was Christ going to the pool for one man, and he was down to sit there. Compassion was Christ draining that wool and cleansing the temple, lest others be polluted. Brother, sister, we're going to be identified with this word until we are word. And every inlet to the soul is entirely plugged. So nobody goes by senses anymore. But like Abraham in blind faith, he goes and lives on and grows fruitful and comes into a resurrection. Yeah, love even that. That's what, that's for you, that's for me. Iniquity. Notice verse 28. As I said, you appear, these Pharisees appear, but they're full of hypocrisy. They're wearing a mask. They're lawless. Serving God is hot in that word. Doing God is good, that is will. They don't care about that word. I've got a very good Pentecostal brother up in Canada. He went home to visit his dad in Newfoundland not long ago. And he believes this word. And of course his dad gets so mad at him. So one day Jim said, all right, Dad, he said, if you think the prophet told a lie, he said, here's what the Bible says. He said, put that rubber out. I don't care what the Bible says. He said, they got my little black book over there. Now, I'm not running the guy down and judging all Pentecost on him. But I want you to know, brother, sister, where did you get that spirit? He had to get somewhere to get it. That's right. He got him good. He would have got that down here playing pool with a boy. He quit playing pool years ago. He didn't have that spirit on him when he played the pool with a boy. He got that spirit too. Not Christianity, but Christianity. Now listen, hypocrite. That's what Jesus called it. Playing the part on the stage. A make-believer. Second Thessalonians. Oh, boy, the time goes. Let's look around a little bit in the night. Don't be smart. Only got six more pages. You know how they got that. There's 200 scriptures. I'm not lying to you, because I've got one old chapter. Maybe I'll cut it down. Now listen. The fourth verse. Who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, manifesting that he is God. The dirty hypocrite. Remember the Bible definition of hypocrite? He says you're full of dead men's bones tradition. Oh, you look like the great thing on the outside. But he said all that you got is that dead stuff and sends you back to dead man. You're living on your organization. You're going by your glare. It's death. Listen, there's only one manna of God, my brother, sister, that does not corrupt. And that's the manna that's behind the veil. And once in every age, the high priest, so to speak, the messenger, goes behind that veil and brings it forth. And remember, the people and the prophet is the same man. Amen. That makes me feel real good. It doesn't make me a prophet. It makes me feel real good. Yes, sir. God gave them all agency. Now, this hypocritical spirit that's in the church brings on the great hypocrite, because there's always got to be a spirit before there's a man. And any spirit, now listen carefully, that's what Brother Ben Jesus says, the spirit, any spirit given a man to work with will go right into that man, and he'll cause trouble like you didn't believe for. All it takes is spirit to come along and whisper to one man, William Branham, the Lord Jesus Christ, and if that man's available, that spirit's got a temple right there. They would invite Jack Palmer up this way sometime. You ask Jack Palmer what happened to him. One night in the motel, and a voice woke him up and said, "Worship William Brown. He's the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "You lying spirit, I challenge that all night long, that spirit challenged him to worship William Brown, the Lord Jesus Christ." He went together down. He said, "Brother Branham, why did that thing happen?" Brother Branham had a vision. And he said, "Jack, a certain man from down south just arrived in Tucson the day before you did. He believes that I am the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to him, Jack, and you ask him in the easiest manner, get around here, what motel and what room he stopped in the night before you were there." And Jack found out that that man with that spirit is in that same motel, that same room, the night before. Now, I'm not trying to run anybody down. I'm just trying to show you something, Brother Sister. You don't get an incarnation. You just don't have things happen like an Antichrist. There's got to be a spirit there, and that spirit's got to be in the church, and the people love that spirit, they make that spirit, and that spirit takes them over. Until the whole spirit gets in that one man, and he controls the whole thing. And now you've got an Antichrist. This is not atheism doing this. This is not communism. This is the church doing it. See? Now notice, Jesus always avoided it. He never had iniquity in his life. No, sir. He said, "What I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I say." And look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 and 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Oh my. The one person that was absolutely one with that word, because he was that word manifest in flesh, is now over the whole thing. He hated iniquity. He loved righteousness. What was it? "What I see him do. What I hear him say, I say." Absolutely one with that word. Now, 10,000 people need healing. Today, the Father said, "Heal them all." Heal them all. The more he said, one man. Oh, God be it to me, Lord. One man. Let's get them all healed. He said, one man. You see, Jesus never ever said to Father, "Father, one won't be when there's hundreds of thousands out there." He draws him in down and says, "Sir, do you want to be healed?" And the guy began out, and he said, "Look, I just said, do you want to be healed?"
doesn't matter.
Why not 1500 more? Why one of that word? Not offering this sacrifice and that sacrifice, doing this and doing that. See? In my mind, what about that little woman preacher that thought she was a preacher, remember? Maybe you were down with that summer. Remember that woman from Brother Jones' church in Indianapolis? Beautiful young woman. I mean, she, and I mean, let's face it, beautiful woman. You know me, Jim. She's beautiful. Very beautiful. Brother Bannon said, yes, you've got a ministry at home with your husband, your children. Remember she tried to discern that time she was there? She couldn't discern for nothing. She never ministered. She said, go home and destroy your family. She went out to preach. Destroy your family. Her place was with her husband. That was the ministry. Well, I'm seeking God. I'm going to serve God. Are you? The last I heard, Brother John said she was in adultery. Her husband was divorced. Now, suppose he becomes that. On Judgment Day, he gives the old Pentecostal routine. But I was in his soul's law. I know that you down in Florida. All I had to say, sister, where is such a verse? She knew. She was too busy studying the Bible to put her husband's dresses. And to be a good wife and a mother. She told the world when he told. Did she? I used to think she did it one time. Now, I want to be good because I'm a hard preacher. But I want to be good because I like to be sweet as well as just sincere. I don't want my sincerity known just by my hardness. So that's not good either. But brother, sister, I don't know anything about God and what the prophet taught if that woman is right. Won't work. It won't work. And I don't care who teaches otherwise. Because a woman is meant to be a queen. Now, she won't make it to heaven by her husband. Don't let that nonsense go out either. I don't care if you're male or female, what you are. You'll come on your own two feet to Jesus Christ. And you'll worship and serve Him. But remember, we all got the right thing to do. And the woman is to reflect the husband as long as he's Jesus Christ, he said Jesus Christ. See where we're heading today? Don't you see when women do that, it's the time of the end ring. It means the church will take over all of God and try to force things on God. Amen, Lord Jesus. Command you Jesus that. Hallelujah, now we'll be Lord. What do you guys say? Now we'll have some more here. Let's put this in Roman. I'm not superficial doing these things. That's what's going on right today, brother. And God says, okay. Okay. He said, it's right here, I'm trying to show you. You won't listen. And you'll think they're worshiping God. Which of you convicted me of sin? See what he sums up. Look it over here in Titus 7 chapter. Fourteen verse. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawlessness, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, everything we do lined up with that word. See? What is a worship? Now remember, brother, sister, you've got to have faith. And faith is a revelation. And that faith comes of what the prophet taught us. Now, let's drop back to those titles. It was called Son of Perdition. Perdition means destruction. Spiritual eternal disaster, the absolute ruin, as far as the purpose of his existence is concerned. Didn't Jesus say about Judas, it would good that man had never been born? Same with this man. Every single thing that he stands for will be destroyed. How tragic it is for those who are of that same spirit that brought upon the Antichrist. They are living for God in their own way, utterly lost. just like this man. See? Notice in verse 4. Second Thessalonians. It says, he is exalted. He exalts and opposes and exalts himself all that is called God. What is that? To oppose and exalt makes him the opposer and the exalter. And that's exactly what Zechariah 3:1 says. Let's look at that a second. Zechariah 3:1. That's almost the last book of the Old Testament. Before Malachi. 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of God, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. See? Resisting the high priest. Trying to stop this man from doing his ordained duty amongst the people. Worshiping and glorifying Almighty God. He was there to resist it. Now notice, he is resisting and exalting himself. He is opposing, as opposing, in other words, aging, pretending that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is a fraud. Remember, Satan opposed God. Satan said, I'll exalt my throne above the throne of heaven. This very thing is going on. What is the Laodicean church done today? It's taken the same spirit of anarchy, because Satan had a spirit of anarchy. And the Laodicean church means what? It means people's rights. They're full of anarchy. They don't care what the word of God says. They can't care. Why? Because they're past feeling. See where this leads them. It leads them to verse 4. It says, so he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Brother Branham said this was your spreading abomination when the Pope shall go to Israel. Forgive people sins and say, I am Christ. I'm the head of the whole thing. Notice. Now, how does this terrible spirit fit in today? It is simple. Because men operating spiritual gifts, apart from the word, are anointed. Remember, Satan was the anointed spirit of recovery. What did he cover? He covered the mercy seat. What was the mercy seat over? The ark. What was in the ark? Similar ministry. The word of God. And the word of God said to the people, the man. Satan was over the whole thing. He was anointed. What did he do? He was perfect, still iniquity was found. And what was iniquity? Lawlessness. He went right away from the word of God. He stepped out and offered that mercy seat. He no longer covered. And he led angels in rebellion against Almighty God. What did he do with? It was the anointing, my brother, my sister, he had. The anointing. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost, and yet he was a sin. So today we've got anointed people. See, they're anointed. They have the anointing upon them, but it doesn't grip the soul. And because it does not grip the soul, their understanding is void. They cannot take the word of God because there's nothing in there to take it. Didn't Jesus say, I'd like to tell you a lot, but you can't take it? What made them take it? The Holy Ghost down in the soul. But they don't have the Holy Ghost down in the soul, so they can't take it. Therefore, there's no room in them for the word. So if there's no room in them for the word, then there is no Holy Ghost in them because he is the means of the word. He's the Holy Ghost. Didn't Brother Dan say Christ must be enthroned in the heart? Christ in the Certainly, see? Yes. This is the very thing that we spoke of in Acts, the second chapter, which will bring about not the millennium, like they think, but it's going to bring about the great tribulation. Now, do not the people with this anointing today see that the church is bypassing the word? No, they don't see it bypassing the word. No, because they're sold out the organization. Now, they're watching verse 8. It says, God will destroy with the brightness of his coming, this lawless one, this son of perdition, this son of destruction. It does not mean annihilation, but that comes later. But what does it mean? It means everything the world system has accumulated. God says at the end time he speaks from heaven, he's going to shake down everything. That's Hebrews 12, 27, 29. It can be shaken. But in Revelation 18, 4 to 10, he tells how the whole system is going to go down. Atomic bomb. Going to destroy this whole world. The last Babylon that goes up. brother, sister, everything that this church and this people stand for is going to go down into death and destruction and then be judged 1,000 years later. No wonder Brother Branham came. Covet not this earth's vain riches. No, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth does not corrupt, for rust rusteth not up in sin, and thieves break in the field. Now notice, verse 9 and verse 4 belong together. In verse 4, praising God himself, the sixth heaven about showing himself that he is God. And verse 9, even his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now for many years, and maybe I even thought of here, I used to believe that lying signs and wonders were different from Matthew 24:24, which is genuine signs. Well, I got in the Greek about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was wrong. The signs are not lies. They are genuine signs and wonders. So the devil sits there and actually proves that he is God by signs and wonders, but they lead to the lie. See? They lead to the lie. You've got the same thing right today. My. I've got a good friend down south, Brother Branham and Jim and Burton, man. Brother John. Wonderful Christian man of God, we love him. But you know something? He is absolutely convinced that certain men with good ministries have to be of God because he knows his cases of God healed, that he took care of. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that there will be genuine healing, but the person himself is wrong because they're false to the word of Almighty God. Now, notice, in Deuteronomy 13 it tells you that a false prophet comes with signs and wonders to lead them away from God. That's right. And in 2 Chronicles 18:19-23, it tells how Ahab fell. God himself allowed a spirit to descend and to fool the people. Now, notice, at this end time, God is going to let a deception be worked out among the people so that they will believe the devil because they turned down the truth. What is the truth? 2 and 13. But we're bound to give thanks to God, all of you brethren, beloved Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you the salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those, my brother and my sister, this end time, who come into the rapture are going to be those who have both the Word of God and the Spirit. In other words, they'll be one. It's going to be the Spirit of truth that brings them into the final end of this great kingdom. Now, notice, the Holy Spirit works by the Word. How does Satan work? He works by beauty and power. Cain wanted beauty. Nimrod wanted a kingdom. He wanted power. Both were wrong. God works in simplicity and humility by the revelation. Now, in verse 10, where it says, all the people come in unrighteousness, and then they perish because they believe not the truth. Remember here, the Antichrist system and ministry takes hold of the people with all deceit of unrighteousness. All of deceit. All of it. Brother Branham said in the church ages, he said that there will be a repeat of all diabolical cunning. Now what's cunning? Deceitfulness. And there's going to be a repeat at the end time where the whole thing is poured into one jug in the church. The complete deceit of the devil turning people from God, thinking they're worshiping and serving God, and they're doing it all through there. How? By the perversion of the word. Notice, unrighteousness, deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now listen, unrighteousness does not deceive you unless it's so close to righteousness that you miss it. You don't get fooled by a man of just killing somebody because that guy's a murderer. You get fooled by the man who talks to you, comes in, Church of Christ, Trinitarianism, false baptism, heal the sick, comfort the wounded, take the mentally defective or the insane out of institution, restore homes, talk people back to get in. Oh, they say, don't tell me. He hasn't got God. I don't care what you say. Now, you folks who want to believe in one God, you got to be wrong. Because after all, if he is you and there's more of us, you got to be right. See? The majority always thinks it's right. The majority is all wrong. You want to be right to see if the majority is not doing. Right. Whatever the majority thinks, you're good. But they argue that, see, because they don't know that righteousness and unrighteousness are so close you can't tell them apart unless you have this message. You can't do it. Because you see, righteousness, brothers and sisters, is how you're lined up with that word. You don't need an advocate for that. He that doeth righteous is righteous. You're as righteous as God. Right. You don't need an advocate. You don't need an intercessor. Because you won't sin. You can't. Bible says you can't. See? The elect of God cannot be deceived. So how can they sin? They cannot be deceived by unrighteousness. They say, what do you believe about the God here? Why aren't you baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me, what about certainty? You people say, you believe, I'm not talking to you now, you believe in election. How can God reprobate one and elect another if it wasn't from the beginning? Serpentry. Would God save an animal? Put him in the bride? No. How could God elect the king? He couldn't do it. He had to elect an able. He reprobated the king. Where do you find that God ever cursed the human race? He cursed Cain. You find me, you curse it. Tell me where God ever cursed one of his fallen children. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive. They can't explain it, but they'll turn it down. Remember the prophet, and because of his ability, went right to the heavenlies like Paul and brought it all down. Before, the best thing to do was take the word from the ground up and try to shake it and build it and build it and build it. But the word of God doesn't come from down, it comes from up. Take the drop, see? All right, remember. Now, where is it? Where is it deceivableness? In them that perish. See? Now, what is this perishing? They take the mark of the beast, or they work it. Remember, where is that mark? In the head and the hand. They take the creeds and dogmas, and they do the work. Where is Cain's mark? Had to be in the head. Already was there. You didn't have to have God put him out there. Already was there. He was not. He had his own thinking, the serpent thinking, the version of God's word. See, said he, didn't God tell you to bring forth life? Yes, he did. Well, if you obey God, isn't that life? Oh, it is. Let us obey God. Let's bring forth life. Go ahead. They brought forth life, didn't they? The word died for it. Now where's the will of God? See, now you see what you're saying? You can't belong to organization, brother, sister. You can't be part of this thing and that thing. You've got about 100% flat on this word and stated it. And the brother Branham said, put that person all the heat. And he said, the way to cut money for strangers, somebody stands at that door, that's the way you do. If he said, deacon said, get in and take the money out of the church, see, that's the way you do. He said, if you do this with money in a Sunday school lesson, that's what you do. If he said, you take your tithes, you do it. You don't sit around and say this and that. You do what the prophet said. Because if you can't do these small things, you'll never get the other. You have to turn it down. No Bible ministry. No foot washing. No communion. That's all gone too. No more tithes. No, that's all things are due. Okay. That's faith, but just how many faith do you think of Brother Brown really got to the world? Not many, you know. He got it. Brother Brown is preaching God. He wasn't preaching down that road too far, as far as I'm concerned. Although some of them cut away down the road, he was sent to God. You better listen to him. And do those things he told us to do. And not make the same mistakes a little Pentecost or did when they do well. And just leave those little things alone, we'll take care of the big things. No. To take care of the whole thing. Now, why must this occur? Because they turned down the love of the truth. Remember, Brother Branham said in the old days they had German coming. What do you go to now? You go to the Word. In the Hebrew, it was German coming. In the Greek, it's manifestation in truth. Jesus Christ gave his own ministry back to a man here on earth to prove that he had the right to speak, that he did speak and bring us the Word of God. Now notice, because they turned it down, God sent a strong delusion, and they believed the lie. What is the lie? You shall not surely die. You're all right. What do you mean if you don't believe that word that you're gonna miss it? What's all that nonsense? What are you talking about, you guys that believe in William Brown? You're just following a man. Huh. I don't follow a man, I go to Jesus. Don't mind how they talk it. Let's find out who's got the truth. Listen to it. Isaiah 28. All tables are full of honor. There's no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Notice he's going to teach knowledge. The word of God, the mystery is coming down. Whom shall he make you understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from breath. None of your Pentecostals jumping up and down and digging stuff anymore. For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here, little there. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak it to you. Now what's he doing? He's teaching. You can't teach by tongue, so this is not tongues and a tongue's evidence. This is a man like Moses. He starts his sentences. He doesn't complete them. He'll start a subject. He falls off in the middle. Ignorant in the sense of the word, uneducated. In short, a William Branham, stammering lips and another tongue. Another tongue so strong that you can take and follow Brother Branham's message. As one brother studied it 10 years and studied 12 hours a day and still said, come up saying the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth are two different things. Brother Branham said it's the same thing. You know how I know? Because one day he read in the book, I knew that I didn't know. And I said, this man talks a language form for these days. He talks a language form to every one of the fundamental sitting in his feet. He talks a language form to Pentecost. And we hear him saying one thing, and he's meaning another. You have 4.5 hours going the Holy Ghost subject back and forth, not wanting to believe that he was telling me. No, I've got volumes of those from what I believe. I've got a hidden. First in the book, I think you got that. But it's not home on stone. I said, Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the born again experience are one and the same thing? He said, now you've got it, Brad. Put on his hat and go to him. I said, hold it right there, Brother Branham. What about your own experience? And he said, what about my experience? I said, didn't you say that when you saw that cross of white, that light, and the voice spoke in tongues, that your life was changed, converted to God? And wasn't it true later on, you said you went to the woodshed, and there the Holy Ghost fell, like telling your body or anything you did, and that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What do you do about your experience now? And he whirled on me, and I had never been smacked, but once the brother ran. He said, brother ran. You don't go by the faith. You go by the word. You show me one place where Paul says you got to get born again and get the Holy Ghost, and it's just not either. Stammering lips and another tongue. then you can't speak your tongues, because Paul said you can't speak your tongues. Then this is not a man speaking in a foreign language. Or is it some evidence of the Holy Ghost? It had a fulfillment of Pentecost when they did speak a foreign tongue. And brothers and sisters, that foreign tongue was not what they spoke with. They spoke in prophecy. And they spoke Galilean, while five different languages picked it up in five different languages. Five different nations picked up in five different languages. Now he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary rest. And this is the refreshing, which is Acts 3:19. But they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here and there a little. Why? That they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. And now listen. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. You that rule this people which is Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, you Nicolaitans, you church teachers, because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell the graveyard agreement, and when the overflowing spirit shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, we won't be in this tribulation. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And Peter in 1 Peter tells you, the stone of offense, they stumbled, that was the word. He lays the word all about again. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Indictment. And righteousness to the promise. Everything gauged by the word, that's your promise. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of life. 100-pound hailstones are going to come down. Water, flood, earthquake, tidal wave, overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing surge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. They said millions now living will never die. Why? Because he's got a covenant through the blood. And he said, I'm a known. I'm off the mercy seat. There you are. They blew the lie once more. Doesn't matter long to worship God. I'll bring the first fruit offering. I don't have to go this way. What could be the prophet anyway? What's all this all about? Isn't Jesus my Savior? A man that Brother Branham loved very sincerely, I won't finish this. You get the story. Loved Brother Branham very sincerely. Sat with me at dinner in Tucson. And he said, Brother Vail, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I knew he missed entirely what Brother Branham came to do. I said, Brother, listen to me. Not because I preached it, but I said, listen, I know a sermon when I hear one, if it's my own or somebody else's. I said, I've got two masterpieces on Christ our righteousness. If not original, not all of it. I took a lot from great students like Dr. Strong, Dr. Kenyon, Dr. Baldwin, things that Brother Branham said. I said, I've got two masterpieces of Christ being a righteousness. I said, get this straight. William Branham did not come to become my righteousness. William Branham did not come to take the place of Jesus Christ. He only came like John the Baptist in order to make sure to us the promises of God. He lifted him back. For the word of the Lord has got to be precept and line and heard of the Lord. If you go back in your own memory, you know that Brother Branham preached the precept. He let it sit there. Serpentine. Then come back later, preach the line. Come back and mention serpentine again, little later, preach the line. And the picture from a fuzzy, almost incoherent statement began to take upon form, like when you tune your television set in, and all you see is a bunch of wavy, big old funny lines. And then you keep tuning, and the lines get fine, and then they start jumping around, and the picture begins to form. And you say, hey, that's it. He did it with every single body that listened in the Word of God. And today now you've got preachers, and I hope I'm one of them, who can come along and add spirit in and bear it in, just to make the picture that he showed us on that revelation screen a little clearer by turning one knob that makes it darker. In other words, it shines a little stronger, see, because it's getting closer and closer to that day. The mystery of iniquity, brother Christian. That's right. The church worshiping the devil thinking he's God. The devil in a man fooling the people so that sincere, good, kind people, a majority I believe are, if Brother Van said, those nuns don't go around none of you to become bad women. They go there to get close to God. And I read an article just the other day about a little nun. And her mother Superior said to her, when did you get to know Christ? Well, she said, I've been a good Catholic all my life. She said, I didn't ask you that. Ask you when you get to know Christ. Very proceeding one. So long as you say that mass, say closing, and bring the peace and forgiveness in, and the Pope is inside of us, he fooled you. Because early boy, birth is corruptible to you. It's got to be incorruptible by the word of God. See, they're not trying to hurt anybody. Just trying to bring it out very clear. So what he said is so perfectly true. The mystery of iniquity. Satan in a man worships of God by the church is a system of organization. Come out from among and be yourself. I'm glad you've come out. I only wish that all those who've come out who have never heard this message might hear this message. Because brothers, just listen to me. The same spirit that just come out, that's the spirit come in. Oh, there's two different spirits. Satan has even gone so far, I believe, to let people come out. And they're not even going. And brothers, sisters, we can be just as dead in the sands of border Palestine as you can in the sands of Sahara, down east, where they stand down. May God help us to stick to this word. Brother Branham said at the end time, throw away all your junk and apply that focus. Remember, nobody can apply the Holy Ghost, only God. But every one of us can apply that word. Because the Spirit was revealed in these last days. Justification, sanctification, restored gifts from our walk, restored word. Put that word in your home, sister. Teach it to your rebellious children that don't even believe in God like our sister, amen. I'm still in it, you're saying, just remember this. Someday I'll go in there. For Christ will say, and if you're here, remember this one thing. Don't sell out. Give your life. Because you could make it. And I'll get what you did. I've got a hope. I believe that's a week and a time. I can't find it in you. I stand up for that. I know we all do. The best we can with all sincerity and humility and no hypocrisy. We believe what the prophet says. And we've got a God. We'll bring it into reality. The Lord bless you. Double your eyes and be with you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word was given to us in an infallible way. As your prophet said, show me one time where it ever failed. Lord, it never did fail, and never will fail, because we know that it's just going to keep on going and growing and blessing until one day, through a spiritual growth, we're going to go with it. Because you said that word can return void. You didn't say it wasn't going to return. You said it would return. And it wouldn't return void. Lord, and that word goes. We all of us tonight want to be the body that you have in that word. And you call it that. Hallelujah. Lord God, keep these one of us standing tonight with that word. Not ashamed of it. Proud of it. Let it be our entire life, Lord. As your prophet said, I've got to put everything aside and put that word first. That's what the Christ did. Lord, we really feel the same way, though I confess many times it doesn't look like it. But here's where we stand tonight, Lord. Help us all, O God, I believe you will. A lot of the things eternal and born of this for the only wise God. Be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.